Okay, welcome to Talking Family, Talking Life.
This has been an eventful weekend for us.
It has been an eventful week.
That's true.
Because, as a lot of you know, we missed our podcast last week, and that's the first time we have done that, and we don't like doing that, but between school incidents, car accident, hospital visits, cardiologist visits.
There's been a lot this week.
People have it a lot worse than we do, but it has just been.
It's been very eventful.
And the events continue. We usually do our podcast at Kids Matter, and they allow us to use their recording studios there. But again, with the craziness of the last week, it has filtered into this week. So we are
doing a little tighter schedule. We're sharing a car.
Yeah.
Still got to pick up kids from the babysitter in school, so
they didn't want to do that.
We're cutting out time. This is the second time today you have lectured me about telling too many details after I've already done it.
I don't remember that. But anyways, I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
I don't know, but I'm not going to make fun of you for
it. So yeah, that's what we were talking about, recording. So we are now recording on my laptop down in the youth room. So I put signs on the youth door saying do not enter. So we'll see how that plays out.
We'll see how many people come down.
I bet you $10,000 Pastor Barry will walk right down this youth center. So
he'll come down looking for a Pepsi or something.
Right, exactly. All right. Well, guys, today's topic, you know, weekly Sarah and I look at each other and say, what do we want to talk about? What do we want to talk about? And we don't plan these topics out weeks ahead, probably like some people do. We just go what's with on our heart at that moment, at that time, and you know, week in, week out, certain things present itself, and it kind of makes it pretty easy to choose from. So today, as you've seen in the title or the headline of our podcast, is do you force your kids to spiritually eat? And if you've been around me lately here and my wife lately, we love touching on topics that are a little more controversial.
Step on the toes a little. Step on our own toes.
And we do it, and honestly, we do things. We bring up these topics is because we really want people just to think.
Yeah.
And
you don't want to ever get to a place where you're stagnant and you're not growing and you're not thinking for yourself. You're letting other people think for you, and you're not thinking with God's word as your guide. So that's good for all of us.
Right. So we're going to touch on this topic briefly today. We're going to hit three certain areas where, when it comes to this whole idea of spiritually feeding your kids, and when we, and I'm sure in your churches and, you know, where you attend and where you serve, you've heard these analogies where you wouldn't physically starve your kid, so why would you spiritually starve them? And I'm one of those that would agree with that concept. So the first one I want to address is, you know, when it comes to our children's spiritual growth. And we're touching on three areas, is this right here. So we'll jump into the controversy and the step on toes topic and the topic that's not pleasant to talk about, is do you force your children to go to church? And that's been an age-old discussion.
Yeah.
For
we see a lot of
many
this
years
working in youth ministry, kids ministry. But specifically with youth ministry for, 16 years, parents not wanting to push this area on their kids. So,
I think, I've seen it both ways, just to be fair on both sides. First of all, if you know me well, our kids don't have a choice when it comes to church attendance. They just don't. To be fair on both sides, I've seen people who have let their children choose whether they want to come to church or how often they want to come to church, and that has backfired, obviously. I've also, again, to be fair, I've also seen it where families and parents have forced their children to go to church, whether they like to or not, and that's backfired as well. My thought with that is this. What's going on in the home? I mean, is there loving relationships happening at home? Are we presenting Christ? Are we living a Christian life that is be presenting as a dictatorship? Are we presenting Christianity as a legalistic lifestyle? Or are we presenting Christ and our rules, if you want? Are we doing that in a loving manner? And I think a lot of times why people, a lot of kids that I've seen that were forced to go to church, which my wife and I, we had no choice.
Sure.
And in my memory, I don't know about Sarah, in my memory, I don't ever remember hating going to church. I don't know.
No, not at all. I mean, I think everybody has those days where they're tired or they don't feel well or, you know, there's something else they would rather do. But I think that's different than just the attitude of church in general. Not wanting to go just because it's church or because it's... But when you create that atmosphere in your home at a young age where it's just not a discussion, you know, it wasn't a discussion whether or not I had to put on clothes to walk out of the house or out of my bedroom. You know, it was just presented as this is what our family is doing.
Right.
This is,
and I think, again, best. I look at my parents, I know Sarah's parents, obviously. I've known half my life now. And they love serving the Lord. They were consistent with it, like our pastor talked about yesterday, and our whole staff has been big about consistent, having a consistent spiritual walk. We've been on that for a lot lately, just amongst our pastoral leadership, leadership here. And we had parents that were consistent. We had parents that were consistent, I believe, for the most part, joyful and love serving and love going to church, and that resonated with at least myself, and I'm sure Sarah would say the same thing. Now, I don't know who else listening to this podcast, and there may be families out there who did exactly what my parents did and what Sarah's parents did, but yet they have children who have walked away from God, and I get that. I understand that. We've all seen that. My wife and I have seen that as well. And I think the simple thing to point out is this, and you know, our small group that Sarah and I lead, they hear it all the time. Our elective classes we lead here, as far as family classes at our church, hear it all the time as well. Our kids are still responsible for their own decisions and their own attitudes, and I think, you know, we're responsible for leading them down the spiritual path as best as we can, biblically. And with the power of God working through us, and hopefully and prayerfully, they will eventually find going to church as something that is a good and awesome and necessary experience.
Mm-hmm. I always think of it this way too. It is my right and my responsibility as a parent to teach my children what I believe, and more importantly, what I believe to be truth from God's Word. And so there are some things that I teach my children as my opinion. This is what I think is best. This is what I think is right. There are other things that I teach my children based on Scripture. And I may not always like what Scripture tells me to do, what's required of me as a child of God. But as a parent, I don't really believe, as a child of Christ, as a Christian, that I have the right to pick and choose what I want from God's Word to teach to my kids. So if God says it's important, then it needs to be important. It's just a matter of truth. It's a matter of right and wrong. And if God's word makes it clear that specifically for church attendance, that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. You know, in every church that might look different. Some, you know, our church has multiple services a week. We have Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Thursday night. And this isn't a harp or a, you know, opinion about the right way to do church. I don't think you have to have all those services in a week to have a great quality church. But for us, that's the church we've chosen to attend. So we have chosen to be faithful to that. And it wouldn't matter for us if we were on church staff or not. If everyone is well and healthy and can be there, then they're going to be there, us included. So,
And again, you guys obviously would not be surprised that we stand on the side of the aisle where, you know, I hate saying the word force, but we expect and we, I'll say it this way, we make our children go to church. And up to this point in our life, there hasn't been any resistance to that. There hasn't been any attitude toward that. Like Sarah said earlier, there are those days where they're like, ugh, we're so tired, whatever. But we've all been in that situation. And on the line, this is kind of off topic in a certain way, but this is just free. All right. Again, one guy's opinion, and I know Sarah is with me on this one too as well. Don't ever use church as a punishment.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd go there. And I was trying to remember to come back to that.
I have a firm conviction in that. And I remember back in the days in, you know, the first church we served in, that was a common punishment for teenagers who disobeyed, rebelled, or what have you, mm-hmm. is that I always tell parents, find their kryptonite when it comes to discipline, mm-hmm. and there you go. And every kid has their different kryptonite. For Jersey, it was a lot of time. It was youth group on Wednesday nights, and parents would ground them for Wednesday nights. And I was 22 when I started then. I'm getting ready to turn 39 now. I've always hated that, just to put it nicely. So
why would you contradict God's word in a way of punishing your kids?
So I would just strongly suggest and recommend don't do that, because that's the best place, one of the best places they can be. Yeah. So we have that, all have that decision. Do we force our kids to go to church? And obviously my wife and I would stand on the side of the aisle where, yeah, you make your kids go to church. Number two, the next thing is this, when it comes, all this has to do with spiritually feeding our kids. When you talk about youth group or church, that's once or twice a week. What about their daily life, their daily walk? So when it comes to their personal devotion time, do we make our kids, or should you make your kids, do their daily devotions, make sure they have their daily prayer time? I'll make my answer short and quick, and you already know what the answer is going to be. Yes. But there's a but coming, all right? My wife and I, we didn't intentionally do this because we did not discuss this in the last couple weeks. Our kids at our church were using the foundation devotional books from Lifeway, and many, many, many people from our church are using these books. I presented it to our church this year, and we have at least 150 people. Doing these foundation books together as a family and so forth. And so our three oldest kids, and if they knew I was saying this, they'd be mortified, but they never listen to the podcast anyway. So
oh, no.
The last couple weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, we've kind of been
But if you listen, please don't go talk to them about this.
I don't care if you do. So the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've been hands off as far as their personal time with God and their personal time, prayer time, devotions, mm-hmm. and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I told
watching and waiting.
Yeah, and I told Sarah the other day. I knew they hadn't been doing it. Mm-hmm. I said I want to shock them. I said I want to come to them. I'm going to say. I said I was going to tell them, and I did this. I said I'm going to give you $5 for anybody who can say they've done their devotions.
Some of our kids speak the language of money.
Right. I'm going to get $5 from anybody who's done their devotions all week. And I knew I wasn't going to lose my money because I knew what the answer was already. Mm-hmm. And not one of them raised their hand. So ever since then, they've been picking up the devotion time. But here's the thing that I want to get, and I was We talked about this in my small group yesterday, and Sarah has quit my small group. She's doing a Sunday school class with the kids now. And
side note, if you're interested in teaching 4- and 5-year-olds.
Yeah. So, and I presented this question to our small group, and I want you to think about this today. All the time, Sarah didn't turn off her phone. All the time, you know, you hear this question, do you love God? Do you love God? Do you love God? Let me present this question to you. Do you enjoy God? Do you enjoy God? I presented that question to my small group yesterday, and you could just see they paused and they thought about that.
Yeah.
And because you don't hear that question often. Do we, another way to rephrase it, you know, is do we delight ourselves in Him? And if we delight ourselves in Him, we'll have that almost that unspeakable joy, that peace that's hard to describe. And I want our kids, obviously I don't want our kids to do devotions for the money, all right? Not interested in that. I want them to get to the point in their life where they enjoy it. They enjoy their Heavenly Father, and they look forward to doing that. And so, and Sarah's going to give her thoughts here in just a moment. My hope and my prayers for me personally, and doing this parenting thing just for 14, 15 years now, and that's a relatively, I would say, not a long time, but also not a short time as well. I want them, and I encourage them, and I guess I will make them do their personal time, because I know what joy that they can experience. I know, when they dive into that personal relationship with God, I want them to experience that love, that grace, that power that comes from Him. And they won't learn that unless they read about Him and talk to Him.
Right.
And I believe as a father, I want them, and not just to encourage them, but, and again, this is not popular in even Christian circles. I'll say it, make them do that for their own good. And just from a physical food standpoint, we don't have a lot of healthy eaters in our family. They do better than I think, but we make them eat some fruit, we make them eat some vegetables. They don't like it,
mm-hmm.
but ultimately it's good for them.
Right. I mean, I think as you were talking, and I think you and I had this discussion a few days ago when we were talking about this, because, you know, we talk about what does this look like in our family? How do we push this? How do we, you know, what kind of requirements do we put on them? Because Mike is very sensitive and very tender to not wanting them to look at it as a negative experience, but that, like he said, that they'll fall in love with God. But if they don't have a relationship with God and they don't know who He is, then they're not going to ultimately love Him in a deep, meaningful way. And so I think one important thing to remember personally or with your own children is sometimes you won't feel like having a personal time with God. You'll be rushed and busy and other things will feel like a priority. But it's so key for them to develop the habit, if you want to call it that, but just develop and discipline themselves that time to spend time with God. And then two, know what your kids are doing. Talk to them about what they're doing, what, you know, the time that they're spending with God. With one of our kids a few weeks ago, they came to me and they said, I just feel like I'm doing the same thing every day. I just feel like I'm just answering the same questions every day. Can I do something else? Can I do a different Bible study, a different devotion book, So that was good for us to sit down and talk about, okay, let's look at your past few days. Well, you don't have to do it this way every day. You can change things up. If nothing specifically sticks out to you from this passage, you've disciplined yourself to study God's Word. That's so important, not to just be reading someone else's thoughts about God's word, but they really need to learn how to read God's word for themselves and to dissect it and study it, and then learning that process of applying it to their own life. So it was good for us to sit down and walk through not just the process of what it looks like to have devotions, but the importance of it and the reason why we choose for you to do it this way. But I've been talking with that child since then about, let's do something in addition to what we're doing. We find value in this particular Bible reading, Bible study, because we feel like it's going to teach you how to study God's word. But if you want to do more in addition to that, let's go look for another devotional book for you, another Bible study, maybe something that you feel is going to more often pertain to your daily things that are going on in your life. So I think it's okay to mix things up and to do different things for different kids, because I want them to enjoy what they're doing and I want them to be learning from it. So I think those are just important things to remember.
Yeah. Again, okay. I was thinking while she was talking, you know, with the whole analogy of giving your kids fruits and you give them vegetables, they hate it right now. They may not like it right now. And we don't know, nobody knows what a day holds or what tomorrow holds. We give them healthy stuff now as they're younger, and hopefully long term they have healthier lives as they become adults and so forth.
Right.
Spiritually speaking, they may not be jumping up and down and may not be having the impact that we want the Word of God to have in their life right now.
Right.
But two things. One, we don't know the impact that it's having.
Yeah.
And second of all, if we're making them spiritually eat long term, one way or another, whether we see it or not, they're getting some good food.
The Word of God doesn't return void. Right,
exactly. Third thing. Last thing, and then again, I like this topic, and obviously we won't do topics that we don't enjoy doing. So we've talked about, do we make our kids spiritually eat? And we talked about in the area of church, we talked about in the area of their personal time. Next is, do we force them to serve, whether it be actually inside the building where your local church meets, and do we make them force them serve in the community? Well, that's easy. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, if they, for me, this is a simple one. All right. The common family, the typical American family, is so active in so many extracurricular stuff, including our own. I mean, just in our family, we have the drums, we have the cross country, we have the basketball. We have the volleyball, soccer, we have the soccer, and again, that's
clarinet, flute,
we have that trumpet. We're the typical American family that has 1,000 things going on, and typically the extracurricular fun activities, whatever, is going to take a huge quantity of our time. But our kids also need quality. Mm-hmm. As well, and I'm not saying any of those things that I just mentioned cannot be quality. Any of those things that Sarah and I just mentioned, we can use those different things for a purpose and make those times quality. But I challenged this with our teenagers this last week. I passed out these little cards, and I want this to be their focus, not just for the rest of the semester, but for their life, is how can you make someone's life better today? Mm-hmm. And you know, we hear it so often, and it gets so old, we just don't listen to it anymore. But I'm probably sounding like an old person because I heard this when I was back in the 80s and 90s.
I think I know where you're going with this.
But we are just such a self-centered society. I mean, mm-hmm. We are so self-focused, and we forget about other people and how mm-hmm. we can serve. And I believe as a parent, we are doing the right thing and a godly thing, and I say a biblical thing, when we make our kids and force our kids and get our kids into some act of service. It is amazing to me how we can make times for everything, but when it comes time for a service project or a ministry project, it's amazing how many times people come back out of that. But when it comes to the things that Sarah and I just listed, God forbid that we back out on a kid's soccer game or a basketball game, whatever. But ministry service things, service opportunities, we tell our kids and we teach our kids, hey, it's okay, you're busy. I think we've got it. We've got it completely backwards. I hate mission people by name, but so I won't do that. But this is a good thing. One of my teenage, where our youth group is serving in the at the our local pregnancy center this Saturday, and the Oak Hill girls are going to the state championship for the second time in 3 years this Saturday. And right after they won the championship, I got a text from one of our teenage girls, and she was just in a pickle. I mean, she said, you know, she signed up for the pregnancy center, but she wants to go to the state championship. And I told her, I said, listen, I said, the state championship, I mean, that's almost a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to go watch and see that. So I was actually encourage her to go do that. I said there'll be other times to serve in the pregnancy center or whatever. But I give this girl all the credit and all the props in the world. I mean, she was determined. She was going to make it work somehow. I mean, the pregnancy center's from 10 to 12 this week. The game started at 12:45, and I said, listen to me, it's not going to work. I said, don't feel bad, whatever. So she texted me or talked to me yesterday, and she said, I got it figured out. She said, I'm going to come there for an hour. My grandpa's going to take me down to Indianapolis, and that way I can do both. And I give that girl all the credit in the world because she had it. I mean, it was about others to her. Yeah. It was about serving. She was committed in doing that. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the heart, and I think it's a testament to the people who have invested in her life, parents and grandparents and so forth. And again, this girl, she had a free choice what to do, and I appreciate her spirit and what she and wanting to serve. Our kids need to realize what a blessing it is to serve other people. As we know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I want our teenagers and I want our children to learn that at a very young age and as quickly as they can before they get into adulthood. I mean, think about it this way. Christian families make their kids and force their kids to do a lot of extracurricular stuff. And some of those same families have no interest in forcing their kids or making their kids to do something that invests in the life of others. And I think we've completely lost focus and doing things in an inaccurate way. And that's just my opinion.
I thought you were going to use the is it called an acronym? That you know what I'm talking about, 80s and 90s kids. Maybe you were thinking about this. The JOY acronym, Jesus, others, and then you, yourself. I thought that's what you were going to talk about.
Listen, I'm from Ohio. I don't know what you Tennessee people did.
You're lying to me. No, you do know that.
I don't know that one.
You don't know what I'm talking about?
I was a horrible teenager. I didn't listen most of the time, so maybe we did.
Oh, this is from like junior church days, like children's church. 80s and 90s. I know like 80% of you guys listening know exactly what I'm talking about. I actually saw it on in another junior church room, not the one that I help with, but in our upper 4th through 6th grade group. They had it taped on the front of their podium for a while upstairs, and it reminded me of it. But it talks about how really having joy in your life is not putting yourself first, it's putting yourself last. That Jesus comes first, and then you look at the needs of others next, and then put yourself last. And I think I've said to our 3-year-old Noah probably close to a dozen times in the last week, look, buddy, it's not about you, because it's always, I want, you know, give me this. And but that's the way I look at service. Our kids need to know, we need to know, it's not all about us. It's about what are we doing for Christ? And what are we doing to serve other people, whether that be helping in a junior church group at church, or be ushering, or a greeter at the door, or letting somebody else go in front of you in the line at the grocery store because they look like they need to get through quickly. What way can you serve other people? What way can you serve your church and your community and people? It's about people. So that's important for our kids to learn. It's not always about what they want. It's not always about what makes them comfortable. You know, we've done nursing home ministry for years, and our kids really, it makes them uncomfortable. I get it. but it's good for them to be reminded it's not about you. It's not about what you want. It's important to serve other people.
Good. All right. Well, guys, if you're going to be, if you're, you know, come to Liberty or what have you, this Sunday, Sarah and I are actually, we're going to be the ones teaching in the Sunday morning worship services at 8:15 and 10:45, and we'll be touching on the topic, a family with purpose. And we'll be talking about having purpose in our discipline, having purpose in our community, having purpose in our relationships, having purpose in our conversation, and having purpose in discipleship. So so we're very excited about teaching this Sunday morning in our two worship services. So if you listen to this podcast before then, invite some unchurched families in this weekend, and we'll look forward to that time.
Have a good week.
Have a good week, Eric.
We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.